Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Mark My Word Show. As most of you know, this podcast is normally fully in Dutch. So a quick note for my Dutch listeners. Today's episode is our first fully English conversation. Alexander Lezet is the CEO of Capital B, a Bitcoin treasury company operating at the absolute frontier of corporate Bitcoin adoption. And once you hear him speak, you will understand immediately why I made an exception specially for him. Since I'm Dutch and Alexander is French, English was simply the most natural way to do this. And trust me, it will be more than worth your time. Enjoy! Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of the Mark My Word Show. Today's episode will be in English because we have a very special guest, Alexander Lezet. Alexander is board director of Bitcoin strategy at Capital B, Europe's first Bitcoin treasury company listed on Euronext Growth Paris. Capital B is not just another listed firm. They are on a clear but very important mission to increase Bitcoin per share over time, which, as many of you know, is one of the most important metrics in the Bitcoin treasury company space. Alexander has a strong background in traditional finance and tech consulting, including several years at Accenture, and his ability to bridge legacy finance with Bitcoin native thinking makes him a perfect guest for this show. I met Alexander at Bitcoin Amsterdam, and I was struck by his passion, clarity, and drive, both on stage and during our own Bitcoin Economics Unseen dinner event. So let's dive deep into his story, his vision, and the bigger role that Bitcoin and Bitcoin treasury companies might play in the macroeconomic reset ahead. Welcome, Alexander.
Thank you so much, Mark. It's a pleasure to come back here and after our dinner in Amsterdam, very good next step for us.
Yes, definitely, definitely. I was looking forward to this conversation. And of course, we spoke already live. And I was thinking all the time that we were discussing all these things about Bitcoin and Bitcoin treasury companies live, I was thinking everyone should be able to listen to this conversation. So I'm really glad that we now have the opportunity.
That's great. Looking forward to the discussion together.
So like always, for those who don't know you yet, because in the Netherlands, we are perhaps I could say, I don't want to offend anyone, but we are slightly behind the curve with our knowledge around Bitcoin treasury companies. So I'm not sure if everyone knows you already. So let's start there. For the ones who don't know you yet, who is Alexander?
Well, Alexandre today is the board member of and director of Bitcoin strategy at Capital B. Before that, I used to work with several banks and several corporations, half of the CAC 40, the largest companies in France, on the treasury side, on the Bitcoin adoption side. Most importantly, I'm a Bitcoin maximalist. I believe in the power of Bitcoin, and I work for Bitcoin. I believe that this is the most powerful thing that everyone can do to contribute to the Bitcoin ecosystem and Bitcoin adoption, because it's the most ethical asset on earth. It's the most valuable thing that you can acquire for you, for your family, for your company. And so contributing to Bitcoin adoption overall is the most efficient way to provide value and give more value to the world than what you are taking from the world. And so by setting up a Bitcoin treasury company, and the one that aims to be the largest and the fastest growing on the continent, this is my way of contributing the most to Bitcoin overall and to its decentralization, even if it's counterintuitive, and to its adoption, because a lot of people know about Bitcoin through the Bitcoin treasury company, and a lot of people know about finance through Bitcoin and through the Bitcoin treasury company. So that's really what I am. Every time that I have a big decision to make, I wonder and I ask myself, what is the best way forward to contribute more to Bitcoin? And that's how I've ended up shifting from the traditional financial consulting side with the corporate treasurers in France to the institutional adoption of Bitcoin for the systemic banks in Europe, and then to building the first and largest Bitcoin treasury company in Europe and accelerating, acquiring more Bitcoin and contributing both to the increase of purchasing power of everyone in Bitcoin terms, and two, as well, the knowledge of Bitcoin, the Bitcoin education, because a lot of people, you know, come to Bitcoin through a Bitcoin treasury company, and they end up as well learning more about Bitcoin and understanding what it really is. So that's my full focus, is more Bitcoin.
Awesome, awesome. Like I could tell that already when I met you in Amsterdam, that your conviction about Bitcoin and the importance of Bitcoin is really, really high. So, and of course I have the same. So energetic wise, we were instantly connecting there. But we also have listeners and people who watch this show that are like slowly getting into Bitcoin, and they're always wondering, well, what has made you so convinced about Bitcoin? And they almost always ask me through email and all kinds of questions underneath YouTube to remind me to also ask my guest, because they want to learn through that journey that you have like had to get into Bitcoin to perhaps get convinced themselves as well. So what was your like turning point, or what was the moment for you that you realized Bitcoin is the way forward?
I had a conversation with the president of a major bank in France a few days ago. And he literally asked me the same question. So I guess that Bitcoin is starting to make its way through the traditional financial system. I think the question is a lot of times comes from fear from the price action of Bitcoin, because someone that comes to Bitcoin wants to buy it, but then fears about the price and what can happen. And how did you make your conviction in the past? And that helps, for, of course, a newcomer to Bitcoin to understand whether they should or not buy, or they should keep, or how they should build their conviction. So I think the most important thing to understand about Bitcoin is that it is the only way to have individual sovereignty and freedom. And then you can ask yourself whether this is correct or not. But then when and if and when you arrive to that conclusion, then you can ask yourself, what is the price of individual sovereignty and freedom? And it is completely priceless. And this is why Bitcoin maximalists are completely indifferent to the price of Bitcoin, because what they own, what they take back, and what they develop with Bitcoin is not even a financial tool. It is, in fact, the recovery and the development of their individual sovereignty and freedom. And this is why when you meet Bitcoin maximalists, they are typically very solar people and very Mark-like people with a lot of energy, because they literally recovered and took complete possession of their future with an asset that gives, at the end of the day, one information that is liberating, is that you can know what you own. And what you own is a piece of the future. It's there is only 21 million units of Bitcoin. And thereby, if you own one piece of it, or even a bit less, but if you own a fraction of this piece of the future, then you can know that you can build the foundation for yourself, for your family, for your company, and provide and focus on providing value to the world. Because if you focus on providing value to the world, you will have more probability to end up with more pieces of the future. And that is the most rewarding thing on earth, is to provide value to the world and to get in return a piece of the future which allows you to provide more value to the world. So that's the most important thing. Then to know whether or not this is actually providing individual sovereignty and freedom, this relies on two major elements. Is free, basically, but two, to continue monitoring. The first one is the information that there is 21 million units of Bitcoin. And this is absolute scarcity. together with digital properties that allows it to be fully custodied and fully transferable in time and in the future. And so this is an asset that is preserving the value of your work in the time and in space as well. You can bring it with you anywhere without any permission from anyone. And that's the first time in history that we have an asset like this. You can try to bring 1 kilogram of gold across the airport when the COVID hits, but you probably will have the chance to leave the country if you are lucky, but your gold will stay at the frontier. But with Bitcoin, it's different. If you see that there is a risk for you, for your family, in a specific place or time on Earth, you can bring your family to a safer place with your assets. And that is effectively Bitcoin. And based on the inflation that is happening in the world, that is depreciating the value of what you own by 10% every year on average, it's the same. You have an asset that has absolute scarcity and that is immune to the manipulation of money all over the world. And so this is the fruit of absolute scarcity. The fruit of absolute scarcity is to preserve the value of your past proof of work and to extend it in the future. And then whether or not that absolute scarcity will stay depends on two factors, is the decentralization and the security. So what you need to do, if you are not yet fully convinced about this as a listener today, is to assess whether Bitcoin is sufficiently secure and decentralized over a sufficiently high time horizon, long time horizon. And today, my analysis and the analysis of hundreds of millions of people has been that Bitcoin is the most secure and decentralized cryptographic network bounded by real world energy. And so on Earth, the only thing that you cannot really trick is the real world energy. And Bitcoin is real world energy transformed into a scarce digital asset that you can bring with you anywhere. It's the equivalent of the power of the freedom of consciousness, because you can own Bitcoin with 12 words or 24 words and bring them with your mind. And that's the most powerful thing that exists on Earth.
This is an awesome explanation. What would you say for the folks that are still scared with regard to the price action, especially the current price action with the quote unquote nasty corrections? They do believe you, and they also probably believe me if I explain them what decentralization and security means and how Bitcoin indeed, in fact, is sufficiently decentralized and secure. Why you could at least therefore believe that there will forever only be 21 million, so that absolute scarcity, perhaps they can get there, but they still see the fact that the price is correcting. And they wonder why, if everyone knows that this is the case, then why is there so much, like, quote unquote, value destruction in the price wise? Because that's how people are, of course, raised. They invest. They think they invest instead of save in Bitcoin. They invest in Bitcoin and they expect it to be higher in the future. But they also sometimes see that it's lower in fiat terms. Why is this, according to you, and how could we explain to them that this is part of the journey as well?
Yes. I will add a personal story to this. I was in the middle of COVID at the time in a very small apartment in Paris, working 24/7 for euros at the time. And I discovered from one day to another that I had no freedom, no financial future and sovereignty with the euro and with a fiat job and with a fiat savings plan. And so in that respect, in the middle of COVID, Bitcoin dropped extremely hard towards 3,000 euros. And it came by, say, minus 50% or even more. And so you could wonder why at that time the asset that is exactly the solution to the issue of freedom repression is going down at the time that you need it? Well, the answer is that owning Bitcoin is the journey of not selling Bitcoin and not having to sell Bitcoin. When you want to use it, that is, of course, always a great use if that is of a great additional value to your life and to your family and to what you are building. But you don't need, you need to be positioned to not have to sell the Bitcoin, because it is the most liquid, 24/7 accessible asset that financial institutions and investors all over the world can sell in times of pain in the market, while the other markets are not open, or it is the asset that provides the most volatility today for investors to have a form of investment strategy or investment strategies when the price is going up or down and when the market is fluctuating in very sharp ways. So what matters is not the price in the short term. What matters is the value of what you own. And so if you take a look back at the price during COVID, that was extremely painful. The price during COVID was about 3,000 euros. And now the price of Bitcoin has crashed today, and it's at 80,000 euros. And it's 5 years down the road. So if you wonder what the person during COVID had to make as a decision to allocate to an asset that was the value proposition is the financial and the individual sovereignty. Individual and financial sovereignty is not made in 1 month. It's not made in 1 year. It's made for generations. It's made for at least 5 to 10 year very strict planning. You know, when you send your kid to school, or when you want to at least learn your kid how to read and write and study and think for himself, this will take at least 10, 15 years. And so this is how you, this is the time that is needed to learn how to think for yourself. Imagine the time that you need to save for yourself and to build your own financial layer of sovereignty. Well, this will not take 1 month or 1 year or 3 years. It will likely take 5 to 10 years as well. And so Bitcoin is the best tool to build your financial layer of sovereignty. But at the same time, it is also subject to the real world pain or value creation in the world. So yes, Bitcoin takes the pain that is inflicted into the economy every day. People are suffering. Businesses are struggling. Inflation is hitting extremely hard. And in that context, you can expect that the economy has more difficulty to allocate more capital to the Bitcoin network in those times. And so if that year businesses are struggling and AI is taking more value from the world than it is giving back, at least from a financial perspective, then you could expect that there is less money to be attributed to the scarcest asset on earth. But then you have to think of the second order effect of what I just said. The second order effect of a lot of pain in the economy is that the only solution for governments to pay back the interest on the debt that is issued to pay for the economies to breathe a little bit is to print much more euros, much more dollars. And so it is quite inevitable that there needs to be more economic pain before more monetary inflation is distributed into the economy. This is the only solution to the government debt issue, at least from the traditional sense that politicians are able to think of, or that people are typically able to vote for. And so in that context, it is also inevitable that over time, the scarcest asset will take the monetary inflation as a black hole that will absorb those new monetary units that will be added to the system. And the only way as an independent economic actor that wants to build the financial sovereignty and freedom to take and to protect, most importantly, to protect himself, itself, herself from this monetary inflation that is inevitable is to own the scarcest asset on earth. And over time, yes, you have a painful time during COVID when Bitcoin drops by 50, 70%. And 5 years down the road, you went from 3,000, 10,000 Bitcoin to 80,000, 100,000 Bitcoin. And so that's a 10x and potentially more over time. It's not every day that you can multiply the value of your savings by 10x to even more. And most importantly, there are a lot of opportunities in the world to have a good investment. But to have that level of conviction on an asset that has absolute scarcity and to be able to go all in on it and to double down in times of uncertainty and doubt in the market, this is where the value and the fortune is made, is because you are actually able to concentrate at least a part of your portfolio into an asset that you know is based on the rules of math and physics, and that will, over a sufficiently long time horizon, maximize your financial freedom. And that is completely different from all other economic activities that, yes, could provide you with an opportunity, but are subject to so much risks that are not risk that Bitcoin knows about. Bitcoin, is it secure and decentralized? And if so, with its absolute scarcity, it will absorb all of the value creation and all of the monetary inflation that happens in the world over time.
So beautiful. While you are explaining this to me and to the audience, I sometimes go back into my own life where I decide to go all in on Bitcoin. And then I see how much freer, how much more happy, how much more easier my life has become simply because I stored my economic output in Bitcoin from that moment that you basically discussed and a little bit before that already. But the more you do it, the higher you get convinced that this is actually working. You actually start to calm down. You actually start to enjoy your life more. You start to produce more. And you have this lower time preference, right? That you actually believe my future is even better than it is right now. So I can keep going forward and keep believing in or keep trusting in this form of money. And this is, a good moment to pivot a little bit to Bitcoin treasury companies, because at this moment as well, especially now that the price has corrected a little bit, there's an incredible amount of FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt, not only about Bitcoin, but especially about Bitcoin treasury companies. If I open X now, like Michael Saylor, like gets hit by almost everyone, and I see so much stupidity in those, like in those comments about what MicroStrategy is and what it is not. Perhaps for our listeners, it's really cool to hear you explain why are there Bitcoin treasury companies? So what's the need of the Bitcoin treasury companies, and why does everyone needs to know that they are here so that we then can slowly go also to the role of capital B in this whole ecosystem?
Absolutely. So when you have decided that Bitcoin is at minimum a valuable diversification factor in your portfolio, or more, that it is the ultimate store of value in the world that is even replacing gold as the global standard store of undisputed and unquestionable value, then what you have to answer is how to get that type of asset in my possession. Or what is the type of exposure that can provide that type of performance for my portfolio. For the majority of people, it will, and even for everyone, I would say, it is important to assess your capacity to own Bitcoin directly, to make sure that you access the full range of what we mean by financial and individual sovereignty and freedom. At the same time, there is as well a lot of market participants and a lot of individuals that are a bit afraid of getting there to the ultimate level first, and they want to start somewhere. And so then you have the option to buy Bitcoin on an exchange. You have now, it's developing a little bit more, the option to buy Bitcoin at certain banks, but it is extremely early and not all banks do it yet, almost none of them still. And then you have the option to look at a Bitcoin treasury company, which is a listed company that has a share that is publicly traded in the market, that is accessible through your brokerage account, and that is accessible directly and custodied directly by a bank that you may trust in other types of activities, that you may decide that either all of or a portion of your Bitcoin related holdings will be through a form of security, so the share of a publicly traded company. And so that is the first value proposition of a Bitcoin treasury company like Capital B, is to provide a form of Bitcoin exposure into a brokerage account with all the easiness that this provides. The trade-off is that you don't own Bitcoin yourself. The advantage is that it's a much easier form of access. And in some ways, for some people, it may even be sometimes even more secure if you are afraid or think that you are not able to custody Bitcoin yourself, or at least that you want to start in a way before you end up with the ultimate form of financial sovereignty. That's the first one, is the accessibility, which is easier with a Bitcoin treasury company. Then the second aspect is that not only you have a first form of Bitcoin exposure, because we own Bitcoin as a publicly traded company, and that the market values those Bitcoin holdings, but the market also values the future Bitcoin holdings of the company. So potentially over time, sometimes it's a valuation by the market that is lower than the Bitcoin holdings. So that is your risk. And sometimes the market valuation is higher than the Bitcoin holdings, and that is a potential opportunity. So sometimes the market expects a growth in Bitcoin, and the market will anticipate that growth with the stock of the Bitcoin treasury company. Or sometimes the Bitcoin treasury company is more volatile, and so when Bitcoin goes by plus 4%, the Bitcoin treasury company can go up by 8%. It can also work in the downside as well. But over time, there is a third value proposition that is very important, is that the Bitcoin treasury company over a sufficiently long time horizon is able to lower the downward price risk and to maximize the upward price potential. Why? Because the Bitcoin treasury company is able to increase the number of Bitcoin per share. So as a shareholder, one share, imagine, is worth 0.5 Bitcoin. And then over time, over 3 years, over 5 years, one share may be worth 2 Bitcoin or 3 Bitcoin. That is a lot of value that can be provided. So effectively, I am working every day together with our team for our shareholders to own more Bitcoin per share in 3 years, 5 years than they have now. And that is a form of leveraged exposure without having to take the risk of taking leverage, actually. So to give you an illustration, not everyone is able to take credit and to take a form of capital raising potential that a publicly traded company has the possibility to do so. And not everyone is able to access public capital markets. And so our role is to access public capital markets to raise more Bitcoin in a way that increases Bitcoin per share for our shareholders. So in a way, the Bitcoin treasury company is a way to amplify the Bitcoin exposure that you have without having to buy more Bitcoin yourself. The Bitcoin treasury company is in the market every day looking for the best options to increase that Bitcoin per share. So at first, it's a form of Bitcoin exposure with an additional risk that is, of course, an operational company compared with Bitcoin itself. But in time, it's a form of amplified Bitcoin exposure. And in any case, it's a much easier way to get access to Bitcoin through the brokerage account.
Dames en heren, heel even Mark hier. Tussen al het mooie geweld van deze aflevering door wil ik even de aandacht vragen voor onze Bitcoin Economics Unseen community. AI en Bitcoin, samen vormen ze de opkomst van de digitale economie. En die is en wordt veel groter dan de traditionele economie. En dit gaat veel sneller dan je denkt. Bij Bitcoin Economics Unseen krijg je messcherpe macro-analyse, inzichten over allerlei financiële instrumenten en leer jij dus hoe je jezelf strategisch kunt positioneren tijdens deze historische wealth transfer. Geen geblaat, geen hype, geen gelul. Wel verdieping, data en een community die absoluut vooruit loopt. Pure alfa om keihard te profiteren van de tijd die komen gaat. Dus, wil je niet achteraan hobbelen, maar op tijd instappen? Ga naar beunseen.nl en plan direct een kennismaking. Dat is be-unseen.nl. Let's go! Yes, it makes a lot of sense. And let's say someone now, also listening to this episode, thinks, okay, you got me with the whole Bitcoin story. I'm convinced with the decentralization, the security, and the maximum supply. Now, I'm also convinced that a Bitcoin treasury company is a great add-on, especially for my portfolio, because now I have a, quote-unquote, a whole team working for me to increase my amount of Bitcoin per share. So I get more wealthy measured in Bitcoin. That's the whole point. So what would someone be doing to check, or what would someone be looking for to see which type of Bitcoin treasury company then can do that the best way? Because there are now multiple Bitcoin treasury companies. So how could one know that the one Bitcoin treasury company is successful in increasing that Bitcoin per share and the other is less successful?
Well, it is quite traditional. If you would want to look out for the best company in a specific sector, you would have to analyze quantitative metrics and qualitative elements. The quantitative metrics are what is the overall performance of the company compared with its benchmark. And so, for example, you can look at Capital B compared with its benchmark and compared with Bitcoin year to date. And you can make your own judgments. You can look at what is the track record of the company at increasing the number of Bitcoin per share. And you can compare the different companies on that front as well. You can definitely as well look at what is the current market structure of the company, what is the capitalization, what are the volumes, what is the type of price action that the company has had, and all of these elements, and different investors will have different metrics that they will want to look at. And then you have qualitative elements. And most importantly, I would say that the gut feeling is extremely important. You should definitely listen to different videos and interviews in different contexts of the leaders of the different Bitcoin treasury companies that you would consider, and make the judgment of which leaders or leader is or are the most aligned with your vision and with your focus in terms of value creation. And so in that respect, it is quite some work that needs to be done for some investors. And I think that it's a question of trust in the management team and as well of cold analysis of the quantitative metrics and the track record of the company. At Capital B, we've been the third Bitcoin treasury company in the world. After Strategy in the US, after Metaplanet in Japan, we have launched the first one back in November 2024. Before it became a trend, we contributed to the trend back in November 2024. We've been one of the only players in the industry together with Strategy and Metaplanet and a few others that are completely focused on maximizing Bitcoin per share over time in a way that respects the overall principle to continuously accumulate more Bitcoin and not trying to play around with Bitcoin, being extremely careful, only working with regulated institutional partners, and building the foundations for the regional dominance of Bitcoin capital markets in our region, in Europe, and in a leading position in the world. That is our pure focus. And so if an investor is looking for something that is different, that is about trading and that is about other forms of yield on Bitcoin, and that is not us. What we are focused on is providing a Bitcoin maximalist regional dominance vehicle for Bitcoin capital markets in Europe. And that is our pure focus. And that is the conservative method that we apply for each capital market operation that we do. And, you know, if we have to take one metric that summarizes all, is at the end of the day, the market appreciation of this, which is year to date, Bitcoin is down by 7% and we are up by 160%.
Awesome. Awesome.
So you can see that even with a price action of Bitcoin that is sideways, Capital B has been able to continuously generate more value, more Bitcoin per share, which reduces the downside of the share price compared with Bitcoin, because we increase the number of Bitcoin per share, which provides a form of higher floor over time for the share. We started at a share that was at 10 cents before the strategy, and the share price went up significantly with a lot of market expectations, even on Bitcoin itself. And then the market was a bit deceived. And so it went from 5 euros to now about 80 cents. But imagine that even after that market correction that affected all of the industry, the share price is up by 8x and is outperforming Bitcoin significantly. So then the typical, of course, reaction is that, yes, but I was a shareholder at the time that the share was between 3 euros and 4 euros. And so for me, the answer there will be time, as it was with Bitcoin during COVID. Yes, you bought Bitcoin at 8,000 and it went down to 3,000. Yes, you bought Bitcoin when it was at 70,000 back in 2021 and it went down to 15,000. But the times where the price action is the most painful is typically when the fortunes are made. Then you have to take into consideration the different risks. But from an objective historical analysis in Bitcoin, at least those were the times where patience has been the most rewarded.
Yeah, it's funny how that goes, right? Everyone knows the stories that you just mentioned with regard to the price action. Everyone knows, oh, I wish I would have been there during COVID, that I knew about Bitcoin and I just bought, I smash bought all my capital at 3,000 or 4,000. No, they did not. Then it went up to like 60. Then it went down to 16. Nobody was buying, or not the ones that were saying that they were going to buy. And now we have the same around 80. And we have the same around the Bitcoin treasury companies. They all wanted to get in. They all wish they would have bought Capital B at 50 cents, 60, 80, 90, or whatever. And then they bought at 4, some of them. Some of them are now on a loss. And now the ones that wanted to get in, they have more challenging thoughts because they believe now, oh my God, this might be over. Perhaps we could give a little bit of attention about that. Okay, so people now believe, some people believe, because I've spoken to them, yeah, the Bitcoin treasury company was simply a hype and now it's over. Now it's done. You already mentioned with regard to like your vision about Bitcoin, how that is never going to end. It's going to keep going up. Why is the same case for Bitcoin treasury companies? And perhaps include your vision with regard to Capital B, how you are going to keep doing this in the future. So what's your vision with regard to Capital B in the upcoming 5 to 10 years? What do you envision? And why do you also have the same conviction that this will going to keep going up?
So in any case, I think an investor needs to be prepared for the worst case scenario, which is that even Bitcoin goes to zero or the Bitcoin treasury company model doesn't work. I think any investor needs to take that risk into consideration. Because that is, of course, a risk. And so anyone needs to protect itself and to make sure that its life doesn't depend on it. At the same time, I have thousands of reasons to be extremely bullish on the future. And those are based on realities that I've observed. It's much easier to say, when you are every day within the machine than yeah. outside of the machine. But, you know, I will tell you a story about the last months that I've spent working with a lot of institutions to show you where we are right now. Where we are right now is a lot of investors that are wondering whether they are wrong or have made a mistake, while in reality, they are only early in an investment that makes a lot of sense. And the reason is I've met with 50 different investors, institutions, brokers, even presidents of some of the largest banks in Europe over these months. And the observation is always the same, is that they are just getting started with Bitcoin. They are just getting started with Bitcoin treasury companies. And they are just getting started with the programs that they can put in place internally to position in that respect. And so what is happening today is a mismatch between some expectations of the fast growth that was going to happen with the institutions coming in and the actual preparation of the institutions. And so the institutions want to come in, are preparing to come in, have started to come in, but there is a bit more time needed for size to materialize into the Bitcoin treasury company space. And so in that respect, it is a bad news sometimes for investors because they think, oh, I thought that we were going to the moon at the end of 2025 or early 2026. Or, you know, I expected that at least it was going to be a gradual growth. And so this is not what is happening. It's an observation. Huh? The market has gone down quite a lot. What is happening is that we have an innovation. We have a model that is disrupting financial markets. And that is doing like Bitcoin in the 2010s. It's going aggressively up at some times, going down slightly during a quite medium to long term period. It can be 1 year, it can be 2 years. Sometimes it's long and hard. But when you look back 5 to 10 years down the road, and you look at the people that bought Bitcoin at 10 cents or 80 cents or 1 euro or 5 euros, now you call them lucky.
Yeah.
But in fact, they were extremely courageous, visionaries. Even Hal Finney at the time in the 2010s said that there was going to be an emergence of Bitcoin banks. You know, so imagine the vision that you need to have at the time to say that there will be Bitcoin banks. And so I think when there is uncertainty into what will be the price action of a Bitcoin treasury company, I think there needs to be a step back. The step back is the following. The company, how much Bitcoin does the company own today? Okay. Does the company have enough reserves to make sure that the operations continue? And how much that capital is compared with the expenses? At Capital B, we have 2 to 3 million euros of Bitcoin treasury company expense for a year. It's an estimate. Huh? It's not a final number, but it's just based on the first semester number that we published. And we have a reserve of 4.5 million euros and 59 BTC, which gives a reserve of 7 to 10 million euros. And so we have an operational reserve to make sure that we can have time to have the right capital raising operations over time to increase Bitcoin per share. And on the other side, we have 2,823 Bitcoin on the balance sheet. Those 2,800 plus Bitcoin are worth, if Bitcoin is around 100K, which is not right now, it's about 75 or something like this. But let's say as a basis for the easiness of the calculation is around 100K. That means a value of 280 million euros. So about 200, a bit less, huh, if it's 70K euros. But if you believe that Bitcoin is a bit comparable, at least to digital gold, that it has absolute scarcity and it is going towards the capitalization of gold, which is today between $20 to $30 trillion, Bitcoin is likely going to go from 100K to 1 million, 2 million, 3 million over time as it monetizes as the digital preferred store of value in the world. And that is a 10x, 20x opportunity over the next 5 to 10 years if you have that assumption. You can have a different assumption and build your own. That is a working assumption for a lot of the industry today. And so if you take that into account and Capital B does nothing, you can look at what is the price of the share today and look at what it could be if Bitcoin was going to be multiplied by 10 to 20x over a certain period of time. So that provides a bit of perspective already without even Capital B doing anything in the market. And of course, we are going to do a lot of valuable things. That is our full focus. And so if you estimate that Bitcoin is going up by a factor of about 10x, and you estimate that the Bitcoin treasury company can do over a period of, say, 5 to 10 years, the same that it has done in 1 year, it was a 1,600% BTC yield that we have generated. Imagine that we don't generate that in 1 year, but in a longer time horizon of your choice, and that this is able to do another, say, 10x, imagine. That is not a commitment, but that is an estimate that any investor can make. At least that is our objective, of course, to maximize Bitcoin per share. If the company is able to increase Bitcoin per share, imagine only even 2x or 3x, and Bitcoin does 10x, and the company is able to increase that by 2x, 3x, and you can increase that amount. Then you multiply the 10x by 2 to 3x. That is quite a valuable proposition, but that takes, of course, some time. And so then the question of the investor is, what is the time that I am willing to take for that investment to materialize? And so a Bitcoin and Bitcoin treasury companies cannot provide with a short-term certainty on some results. What they can provide is the valuable information that, one, there is absolute scarcity on the balance sheet that shareholders can benefit from, and two, that there is a form of amplification that comes from the increase of Bitcoin per share, and that can add up to the increase of Bitcoin itself. And so if you would not plan to sell Bitcoin, then it makes sense to not sell the Bitcoin treasury company if you believe in Bitcoin and if you believe in the capacity of the management to keep increasing Bitcoin per share over time. And so if you take that analysis and you apply that to the share price, you can make your own assumptions and look at the price that you paid for that value potential and estimate whether or not this will be largely outperformed over time or not, and make your own decisions. But that is the typical process that even the most sophisticated investors in Bitcoin are doing. Sometimes you think that a very sophisticated investor is doing extremely complex calculations, and in reality, the capacity and the expertise and the ability to generate outsized return for an investor many times comes from the ability to come up with simple, logical, first principles analysis that is based on your own judgment and not based on some trading advice or analysis of the chart on a 3 to 6 months time horizon. This doesn't work like this. Bitcoin is a project of money. It's like a startup, a scale-up. You are not going to assess the value of a scale-up by looking at the price of the scale-up every day. It moves too fast. It disrupts so much things in the world, and the world doesn't know how to price it. And so in that respect, then if the value of Bitcoin is 1 million, who will care if you bought it at 3K, 30K, 300K? The important is to own as much of it as possible. And the investment time horizon is forever, because you don't want to sell it. You want to capitalize on it. You want to build a strong foundation for your family. And you want to potentially at some point be able to take a loan out of it when the financial system is well developed and you don't have to sell the Bitcoin.
Yeah, so I love how this podcast organically went from first principles and you just like close the loop with it again. It's like the first principle is like, what do you want? If you want to be more free, then you need to act on it. And then Bitcoin could very well be the asset. Then you have this level of conviction. And if you have this high level of conviction and this low time preference, then you have the right mindset and also idea of how you could indeed become more free. And then the role of Bitcoin treasury companies to, because that's basically what you said, like the low time preference that attracted Bitcoiners, you also want to attract that type of investors, like the ones that are actually believing in the future of capital B, not only for the like the short-term gains, but actually, well, right all the ways up and down, all the way to the end, so that we have this real relationship. And that brings me to how important relationships are in your life, like with my wife, my kids. It's the same. It's not something that you invest only for 6 months. You invest your whole life, and then it becomes magic, right? So we have your vision now with the Bitcoin Treasury Company space and especially Capital B. I want to be respectful of your time because you almost need to go. So let's find a way to make it like really easy for everyone to understand why Bitcoin is so important, why the Bitcoin Treasury Company space is an essential part of the global Bitcoin adoption. And perhaps you could say anything about, do you look anyway to the short-term macroeconomic environment? Is that something that keeps you busy at all? Or do you only keep a low time preference and look 5 to 10 years ahead?
Well, first of all, I will confirm what you said, and I would like to say that I'm extremely grateful for all of our shareholder community at Capital B that is extremely strong, and I would say the strongest in the industry. When you look at 1 month, Capital B is one of the major Bitcoin treasury companies that is holding the most. And this is due to, of course, a capitalization table of very strong hands, like Adam Back, of course, himself, the only person mentioned in the Bitcoin white paper, Fulgur Ventures, Toba, UTXO Management, and of course, our amazing Bitcoin treasury company, shareholder community, from the individuals and the shareholder meeting and dinner that we had in Amsterdam was absolutely amazing in that respect. I think that people from Netherlands are especially strong hands and strong people. And I admire the nation, and I'm very grateful. I'm of course very grateful for Europeans in general, and of course French people. I think that Europeans are able to understand and to see the value of tradition, of settling things for the long run. And I think on the other side, Americans are also, and all around the world, are also extremely important in terms of the vision and in terms of the ability to take advantage of certain market scenarios, and I think we can all admire their capacity to not see a technology as good or bad, but as a tool that should be used for the prosperity of an individual, a family, and a nation. I would say that there is, when you say like the macro context and how to take that into perspective, there is today two different sides of the market. There is the institutions, and I've been quite impressed by the fact that a lot of institutions are a bit forced by their benchmarks and their rules to have very short-term time horizons,
yeah.
Sometimes not even 1 year or 6 months, but 1 month. And so in that respect, when you talk to institutions, you definitely have to take into account what is the global macro context and what is in their mind and what they need to take into consideration, because they literally either amplify the movement on the upside or they amplify the movement on the downside, because they typically invest in shorter time horizons. At the same time, I met with one of the largest brokers in France, and they mentioned that Capital B has one of the strongest participation from retail investors when the price is going down. So from July and August, the strongest hands have been retail, and they've been accumulating Capital B as the strongest as it's ever been. And apparently it's already representing about 1 billion euros of volumes. Wow. Since the start of the year. And this is massive. And this in turn generates a lot of opportunity for institutions, because they see that amount of volume, that level of holding in tough times. And they say, wow, this is a new type of company that has a major backing from its investors. And we want to participate in this. And we even have institutions that have a longer time horizon. So yes, you need to take the short-term consideration into perspective to make sure that you address all of the shareholders, even the ones that have a shorter time horizon. But even the institutions, they now understand monetary devaluation. They understand that Bitcoin is a solution, and they understand that the Bitcoin treasury company is the best way to get that form of exposure. So when you said, like, what are the plans to address those tough times? Well, we are today at about 3,000 Bitcoin. We need to go towards 5,000 to 7,000 Bitcoin with major BTC operations to leverage institutional type raises that will allow the company to really accelerate that scaled automated Bitcoin accumulation machine for our shareholders. And if you apply the logic that we used just before to calculate the power of a balance sheet with 3,000 Bitcoin in time with a 10x in Bitcoin and an X that can be calculated by any investor on the Bitcoin per share side, and you add to that not 3,000 Bitcoin, but the potential for 7 to 15,000 to 20,000 Bitcoin, you end up with a very significant company over in Europe that can really matter for the continent in terms of financial prosperity for Europeans, with Bitcoin at the heart in Bitcoin capital markets and contributing overall to the decentralization of Bitcoin, because Capital B is contributing to more banks offering Bitcoin solutions, custody, payments, and accessibility of Bitcoin overall. And we are every day educating Bitcoin in Bitcoin with the institutions. It's hundreds of people within the banks that get to know Bitcoin, and all of the investors as well that get to know more about Bitcoin through Capital B as an entity. So we take very seriously the education in Bitcoin. And thank you, Mark, for the podcast and the invitation. And thank you all for being with us on that journey. For me, the best thing on all of this is we are building this all together, and we are building the foundation for an empire of Bitcoin in Europe all together. And it needs to be built on strong foundation, and Bitcoin is here for this. So thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. Like I want to give you back. I want to give back to you that the people that buy and hold Bitcoin and have this high level of conviction, they always look that type of energy in a company where they want to invest in. And you play an amazing role. You have played a specific part in that process to actually have the same energy and feeling with Capital B. Mm-hmm. So that's why I believe, especially I can speak for the ones that are from the Netherlands, of course, because I know a lot of them, and I am from the Netherlands. We are a little less prone to action right away. We first want to find out if it's real, if it's true. And once it is, we are really, really loyal and we stay to the end, right? And so I think that is something that we Dutchies have. And I think that is really good and aligned with the message you just had. So Alexander, I want to like, thank you. Thank you for your time and for your wise words in this this podcast. And I think we meet again soon.
Thank you so much, Mark. Take care. Talk soon.
Until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hallo dames en heren, hier ben ik nog even. Dankjewel voor het luisteren. Hopelijk heb je genoten van deze leuke aflevering. Zorg dat je nog even op ons kanaal abonneert. Zowel op YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcast. Laat ook even een review achter, een comment achter. Maakt niet uit. Help ons in die zin om nog beter vindbaar te zijn in de zoekmachines. Zodat we een zo groot mogelijk publiek kunnen bereiken met betrekking tot onze missie. En als je zo erg genoten hebt van alles wat wij creëren aan content, weet dat er nog een zwaar verdiepende laag achter zit. met Be Unseen. Dus be-unseen.nl. Check de website om te kijken of onze community iets voor jou is om lid te worden. Met messcherpe analyses, ontiegelijk veel data. Om samen met elkaar, met een leuke groep mensen, deze wealth transfer die gaande is. Die digitale economie die zichzelf aan het vormen is. Om daarin voorop te lopen, jezelf te positioneren. En te zorgen dat jij, je familie en al je geliefdes klaar zijn voor de tijd die komen gaat. Oké, dit was het. Heel veel plezier de rest van je dag en maak er een mooi leven van. Tot snel!